Good morning. How are you today? How many of you lost your power during the night? Pretty much everybody. Isn't it good that we were only out a short time and we can be here this morning in air conditioning and enjoying this and being together in worship? Thank you for Ryan and Ruth for leading us today and playing for us. And you know, I find that in the heat of summer, there's something inside of me that wants to rise up and grumble. You ever think of that? you have to be so very, very careful about guarding your heart. That's what the scripture says. Don't be grumbling when you need to be praising. And don't be grumbling when you should be giving thanks to the Lord. And I just want to caution you, as I've been cautioning myself lately in the midst of this heat and humidity that we're trying to adjust to and get used to, is don't fall into a grumbling spirit about anything. But in all things, give thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to page 742. And by the way, as I say that, make sure you appreciate everything. I appreciate the leadership that comes here every Sunday and leads us in praise and worship week in and week out. And I'm just so grateful to God for Ryan and Becky and Ruth and Christy and John and Deirdre and all those who participate in leading us to the Lord and in the presence of God every week and leading us in song, but more importantly, leading us in spirit to the presence of God. And it's such a privileged thing. And I just want to publicly say to God, thank you, thank you, thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you ever play baseball or softball when you were little and throw the ball up and hit the ball, you know, and play with yourself and, you know, when nobody else was around? And there was a little boy who was out playing one day and he'd throw the ball up and he'd swing at it and he'd miss and he'd say, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he'd throw the ball up and he'd swing again and miss it and he'd say, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And about the third or fourth time he'd throw the ball up and he'd swing and he missed it again and he said, "Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." We're talking today, we're continuing in the message this morning, pride plus time equals judgment. This is part two. We shared last week that just as there are physical laws that govern the world and the universe that we live in, there are spiritual laws that govern the spiritual realm that God has placed over us, laws that govern the spiritual world. And one of those laws is pride plus time equals judgment. There's a time when God is going to step in and he's going to say, "Enough of that," and he's going to judge the world for its pride. Last week, as we looked in chapter 4 at King Nebuchadnezzar, we saw that that's exactly what God did with Nebuchadnezzar. He stepped in and he said, as Nebuchadnezzar failed to recognize God as the supreme high ruler over all the universe, because of pride in his life, Nebuchadnezzar was literally put out to pasture for 7 years in the form of insanity. And it wasn't until the king Nebuchadnezzar finally raised his eyes to heaven and said, "You are most high, sovereign God. There's no one like you in all of the universe. You're completely over everything." And he praised and honored God with his mind and his heart and glorified God. It was at that moment that his sanity was restored. Now, I think it's fair to say that that's a very, very difficult lesson to learn, is it not? Well, I want you to again understand that God hates pride. And when we're living in pride, we're living in rebellion against God. It's an attitude of the heart that exalts itself above God. That's pride. An attitude of our hearts. That's why I cautioned you a few moments ago, be careful to guard your heart in your attitudes about what's going on in life and what you're seeing and how you're processing that as you go through daily living. It's the attitude of the heart that exalts itself above others. It's living in rebellion against God. Well, I want us to look at another view, I guess we could call it, of this form of pride this morning in a different life. It's in the life of King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. It's page 742. Now, someone asked me last week, isn't that Daniel's name? No. Daniel's name was Belshazzar, Beltshazzar. This is King Belshazzar, Belshazzar. There's only two little letters difference, two different men, and this is King Belshazzar. And God judges Belshazzar just as he did Nebuchadnezzar back years ago. Nebuchadnezzar died. Let me give you a little history here. Nebuchadnezzar died in the year 562 BC. And at the moment that Nebuchadnezzar died, Babylon, the kingdom, began to go into a great, great decline. It began to slide backwards, really rather quickly. And there were a number of successors that followed Nebuchadnezzar. One of them was Amel-Marduk, who governed for 2 years from 562 to 560. And then followed him was Nergalesar from 560 to 556, who was actually Nebuchadnezzar's son-in-law, who governed for 5 years. And then there was a man named Labashi-Marduk, who reigned for 9 months, and who followed him was another man, Nabonidus, whose primary preoccupation, listen to this, his primary preoccupation was the worship of the moon god, which was called Sin, S-I-N, as we would know the word. And he actually moved away from Babylon, and he set up a temple to worship the moon god Sin, and he had a son. And his son's name was Belshazzar, this king in Daniel chapter 5, who stepped in and literally reigned kind of as a co-regent with his father. And Belshazzar is actually the grand